You look just like I did at your age.
Please don't say that, Dad.
I'm 16 years old. I'm not a child.
Don't you take that tone of voice with me, young lady.
Love you, Dad.
I love you too, son.
You're listening to Honey, We Made a Disney Podcast. Two friends since we were Linus and Schroeder in our play of You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. I'm JB Wagner.
And I'm Eddie Ferguson. And on today's episode, we experience a depression that only Hamlet would understand as we review Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen. But first, JB, how are you and the family?
Doing good. We are, it's a big week this week. Or actually, it was a big week last week because my son has been waiting with bated breath for the latest Mario Kart tracks to come out. We've been waiting for them. We've been waiting for them. And they finally launched on his Switch. So now he's got the brand new tracks. He's been playing with them all the time. But they do these like staggered releases of, it's not just like back in the old days where it's like, once you buy the game, that's what you got. It's like, okay, now we got tons and tons of tracks and stuff like that, that we have to wait for those things to, the next ones to come out. So he's got the next four tracks and the next four tracks. So it's a big week in our household for that. Plus, Mario related, we had the final trailer come out for the Mario movie. So there was a big one. It was a great one. And it's very Mario Kart related. There's a lot of Mario Kart adventures inside of it. So he is on top of the moon right now, over the moon. But the problem is that he keeps mixing up days and weeks and months. So we have to keep on reminding him we are weeks away from that. Where it was like we were days away from the Mario Kart tracks. And then we were weeks away from the movie. So we kind of keep having to try to get him back on. No, but like the tracks are here now, but then the movie's coming later. So that's been our fun, like dealing with time, re-educating on time.
Because the movie is April, like the second weekend of April.
Oh, it's April 5th. It's April 5th. It's like right out of the gate. So
do you guys have anything else going on around that time?
Nothing else going on. Okay. Our calendars are completely clear. No babies on the
pop out.
Yeah, no babies on the way or anything like that that could potentially foil our plans. None at all.
He will hate this sibling for the rest of their life if he can't go see Mario because of this.
I should just go ahead and like plan to take the day off that day. And then that way we can see like the earliest showing that we possibly can.
Yeah, you want to. The trailer looks awesome.
Oh, yeah, it looks great.
What's even awesomer, I didn't know that they got Jack Black to play Bruiser. I glitched for a second. You need to watch the whole voice cast was on the Kelly Clarkson show.
Of course you would know about that one.
Yes, people. Of course I track the Kelly Clarkson show. Who doesn't? And Jack Black showed up dressed as Bowser for the interview.
The only one dressed up.
And it's a great little bit. But what I love about Jack Black is it's a little bit that like everybody's done with within 30 seconds. But he plays the bit for like the whole 20-minute interview. Just like, no, we're not letting go. We're not letting go. And it's just classic Jack Black. So I'm excited. That latest trailer did look really cool.
That's my guess this year. We had to make predictions for the year for our team where we just make random predictions inside of the company, outside of the company. And one of mine was that Mario movie is going to be the top grossing animated film this year. Hands down. Like it's going to be the top one. It's going to beat out whatever Pixar puts out there, or whatever DreamWorks or anybody else puts out there.
Yeah, because you don't really have anything highly anticipated.
Unless the Elemental goes nuclear, which I don't know that hasn't been Pixar's way recently. So,
well, and this has an interesting mix of being a known property, but a brand new movie.
Yeah, we've never had a good Mario movie. It's just not an animated film before.
Right, so, right.
We shall see. But that's enough about me. It's enough about me for this moment. But Eddie, we've got a lot of Disney news. A lot of Disney. We got some trailers.
A lot of Disney, yeah. Plus content coming out.
Plus content like trailer. We're going to kind of talk a little bit about the Oscars, as well as some Disney news as well. A little bit of parks stuff. But first, the big one, the big thing is that we finally got a full trailer for The Little Mermaid, the new Little Mermaid live action coming out soon. Eddie, how excited were you about this new trailer? Were you? I know that you are a big proponent of all the prequels, and you've been dying for us to make that our next thing that we do, is just talk about the prequels. Not prequels, live anime.
Live action
remakes.
Yeah. I got to be honest, you know, for the first 30 seconds, I was like, okay, all right, okay, you know, a realistic shipwreck. Okay, this is interesting. And then I see Scully and Sebastian. And then they do the whole like under the sea sequence. Like you get just like a quick beat of that. And I'm just like, no, I'm out. I'm good. Mm-mm.
What?
Don't need this. That was the moment for me.
Because it's Awkwafina? Is that why?
No, it's just like, it doesn't work for me. Like real birds talking, you know, real lions talking doesn't work for me, you know?
Maybe it's like, look this, at it again.
This works in animation because, well, they're animated, you know, there's some artistic license taken there. But like when it feels like the whole real crab, no, I'm good.
See, my thing was, well, first off, I just want to say her voice is perfect for this.
It is a great voice.
It's astounding. Like her voice is amazing. Yeah. It's beautiful. And it's so reminiscent of the original that they couldn't have picked a better vocal cast for her specifically, for her playing the role. Like it's just impeccable. Like how beautiful her voice is, honestly. I'm always blown away every time they go on it. So maybe that's the thing where I just listen to the soundtrack a lot or whatever. But I enjoyed it. That crab moment isn't that big of a thing. I was more like, what's that voice? That's Awkwafina. So I got a little excited about that. My big hope, we should go back and revisit our initial review of The Little Mermaid because, I want it because back at the time we were doing it a lot harder on how would they remake this in 2020 in our time now. And so I remember one of my big pieces of this was, man, I hope that they make his character a lot better. I'm very interested. Eric. Prince Eric is one of the worst princes or royal people in all of the Disney movies, especially the Disney decade. He's hands down one of the worst because he's so oblivious. So I wonder if they're going to fix that. Oh, yeah.
I gave it a 3.5 and you gave it a 3.
It was honestly because he was so awful. And we kind of like gave most of my credit to Ursula being one of the best villains of all time.
Which they gave us very little of. Like they were very sneaky in showing Melissa McCarthy.
They didn't
like
show very much.
You got a bit of her, but not a lot. Not a lot.
I think Melissa McCarthy is a reason why I'm interested in seeing this versus other ones. I would say I have a little, I know you're out, you're gone. There's no hope of you going to see this. I think I'm a little intrigued. I'm more intrigued by this than a lot of the other Disney remakes. I don't know why. The trailers so far have done it enough justice, but I'm sorry that you are already far out and gone and never coming back. But
I think what is interesting to me is that it is Rob Marshall that they got to direct this.
Who has done, which, for our listeners out there,
Chicago, Into the Woods, Mary Poppins Returns. Like, he is a
Disney.
Say what you want about story or not. Like, he's really good at the modern musical. This is like, he's a master at this. So it is intriguing that they got him to come back. Or they got him to come do The Little Mermaid. To me, you know, okay, that's interesting. They got him. Lin-Manuel Miranda is writing on this.
My wife caught that in the credits. She was like, oh,
Lin-Manuel, also what produced. Is he doing? Lin-Manuel Miranda got a producing credit on this. So there's enough here that's got me intrigued.
Will
more
you
than
go
I
see
usually
it?
Am.
Will you go see it?
I don't know.
Okay.
I gotta pick between this and Guardians, right? Because they're both coming out in May.
You don't have to pick. You can go see both.
The problem is when I leave, it's like I know I'm leaving my wife with three kids all alone.
No help.
Right?
Yeah, you gotta wait for Ed. You gotta wait for Ed and Nancy to come back out.
Yeah. They won't be here for that. So and in May, I'm already leaving for a trip up to Nicaragua for a few days. So like I already have a lot of guilt built up. So it's like I gotta choose.
Earn some credit.
I gotta choose wisely. Yeah.
This is not that movie to lose your marriage by.
I don't think that's at risk. Don't get too dramatic. We'll get to the drama later on in this episode.
Okay. Well, now you've piqued my interest. Yep.
Well, I meant just Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen.
Yep.
Yeah. I sent you this. I didn't know if you'd seen this before, but they gave Jeremy Renner his own show on Disney Plus. Would you have ever guessed in a million years that, okay, Disney Plus show for Jeremy Renner, this is the theme, this is the topic?
I was shocked when you sent it to me, but you know me so well that you knew I would be immediately like losing my mind excited about it.
Especially just the title alone. Like,
well, the
renovations.
And so do you want to give the plot of like the kind of the basis for this show?
So it's what, like 6-8 episodes? It's not like a huge show, like not a lot of shows, but Jeremy, we'll just call him Jeremy, and his celebrity guest of the episode go to a community that the guest has some type of connection to, and they renovate some vehicle to then perform a community service task. Right. So they take an old school bus in India that can now filter water for a community and deliver potable water to that community.
So you get both the, well, hey, we get famous people. We get them all the renovation buckets of all the things that we love about Chip and Joanna Gaines and stuff.
Check.
We even get the tiny house community involved in this because it's got of that the schoolies turning those into some things and then doing a good for the community.
Checks
all around for this. If I had to pay for this, I would probably even pay for this because this is right at my wheelhouse. I love stories like this. I love seeing when celebrities use their fame for something really, really good. This was such interesting timing because of all the things that Jeremy Renner is going through right now. With his own accident trying to snowplow all for his family basically and for his extended family, and then like trying to save it started like rolling down the hill and had to like get in to stop it and save one of his family members' life, and now he's in the hospital like recovering from all of that issue. So it's crazy to then see this show pop up that he's that he's like centrally a part of. It gave me chills. It gave me like all the good feelings. I'm like, this is the kind of stuff that they just don't make very often.
Yeah. And I'm surprised that like they didn't give it more fanfare in its announcement and stuff. Cause I'm like, this is like especially in light of everything that's going on, you think they would have leaned into this a bit, or, I mean, it just kind of like slipped in there. I didn't really know.
And when are they coming out? Do you remember the release date on it? Or there might not be a...
I think it's sometime here in April.
April 12th. So we're a couple weeks away. It's going to be queued up for us because this is everything that I want to see more of. So
speaking of things coming up that I will have queued up.
Yes.
And that snuck out there. Like, I didn't know about this until like the other day. U2, the band... one of my, if not my favorite band, is coming to Disney Plus. It's called, horrible title, by the way, Bono and the Edge and a Sort of Homecoming with David Letterman. We're getting a lot of names floating in here. Bono and the Edge, a Sort of Homecoming with David Letterman. And it makes sense. Like, I think it's pretty much like an extended artist interview by David Letterman with half of U2. I love that even in the trailer, like, they have to explain why Adam and Larry aren't a part of this, but, you know, okay. I'm excited for this. It drops this Friday, St. Patrick's Day, March 17th.
Happy. And yeah.
Yeah. Happy. And I'm like, okay, that's smart. You know, like, the biggest band in Irish history dropping it on St. Patrick's Day. That's some good planning on Disney Plus's part.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. That'll be super fun. I am still confused why David Letterman, of all people, is the one that's kind of hosting this.
Yeah, me too.
And also, there's kind of like a concert. It's like part concert, part... I'm assuming they're doing this in their hometown, because that's why it's called a homecoming.
Yeah, they're from Dublin.
But like, it looks like they're kind of doing an acoustic concert as a part of this whole thing. And they might have even said that they might be changing some of the lyrics after a amount of time, or maybe that was just a question he had. Are you rewriting your songs this late in the game? This might be the biggest thing that they have done of note, and it's just popped up on our radar because this is our world. But I haven't heard very much from them since that failed Apple album that we all got in college that we didn't ask for, and we're all like so mad it was taking up our data.
No, they've released two really successful albums, or one since then. So the one that got sent to all of us was Songs of Innocence. And then a couple of years ago was Songs of Experience, both fantastic albums.
Neither of which I listened to.
I know, you're missing out on. This is what's so odd, is in our friendship, we have such similar taste in almost everything except music.
That is not true, because the aforementioned Kelly Clarkson.
This is true, but like... You've stopped. Like, do you still listen to Kelly?
Not on purpose. See, unless I'm like, I want to go back to high school and
sing.
Today,
I got in the car and selected Essential Kelly Clarkson and listened to it on my drive.
The Essential Kelly Clarkson.
Yes. So we've diverged there. Like, for you, that's still like nostalgia. For me, it's like present.
Present nostalgia.
I'm going to poke an open wound here in that... I mean, my two favorite bands are Mumford & Sons and U2, two of which you do not listen to. Mumford & Sons, you openly mock.
It's great if I don't listen to the same song over and over again.
Not at all. You are so stuck on the first album. Oh, you should sit and listen to Delta. Just go for it. Just listen to that album and tell me. That you're listening to the same song.
Trying to remember the last time I just sat and listened to a song without doing something else. Or not one song, but like an album. Remember the days when you like grab the leaflet and just like lay on your couch? That's what we should have put for the opener for this. Two friends, since we used to actually read the lyrics and listen to the music, not YouTube.
Do you have a record player?
No.
This is fun. This is so much fun. I have a record player. I don't have a lot of records. But that is when I will put the record on and sit and listen through an album.
How many did you have before your kids chewed on them?
It's locked away and the kids are threatened with an inch of their life to ever touch those things. They were here before you and they're going to be here after you. Don't touch them. But you two, this past fall, I think it was the beginning of November, Bono released his memoir called Surrender. It is sitting on my bedside table to begin. Somebody gifted it to me. I just got it at the end of January. And a part of that he did in his book release, like his book signings, he did these little one-man, concerts of a few select songs that he talks about in the book. So I'm hopeful that this documentary has a little bit of crossover with all of that. Because what he did there was really quite remarkable. Just kind of retelling these classic songs.
I'm happy for you, Eddie. I'm happy you have this in your life.
Do you
I might watch it.
Whatever. Don't patronize me. I would watch it
for
me.
You, Eddie. Don't patronize me. I watched Idina Menzel for you.
You did not do that for me.
I did that for you. Because you said we were going to
accident.
No, you said we were going to watch it on. We were going to watch it, then talk about it.
You
and so I did.
Misinterpreted my sarcasm, which again,
over text, it's hard.
I'm nervous for our friendship here. You misinterpreted that, and we're fighting over the best music that there is out there. What is this trend Disney Plus has got? Like, do they want to be like the concert artist experience streamer here?
I mean, because you've got the Elton John live stream.
The aforementioned Idina Menzel. Billie Eilish had a concert on there. Taylor Swift has had a few. Next week, you're going to bring us a review of Miley Cyrus' Endless Summer Vacation Backyard Concert that has just dropped.
Eddie, I don't have to wait till next week.
No.
Because last night...
No!
As I was doing some work on my laptop, my wife turned this on.
No!
And it was there while I was just trying to mind my own business. And it was happening today.
While I, you know, went to look at a few other things, and I'm like, I'm putting this in the show notes just for the Idina Menzel joke all over again. But you voluntarily did it all on your own.
This was not my choice. It was on while I was present in the room.
Your wife is very pregnant. Do not throw her under the bus.
I would not throw her under the bus. I don't have anything to say because I didn't really care. It was happening. They had these in-between monologues with her. And I was just like, yeah, you're not coming across as a normal, everyday person in this. You're crazy famous and you can do whatever you want to. So I don't have much sympathy or feelings.
My question is, she's got to be pushing 30, right?
I thought she's older than that. Is she that much different than us? Like, age-wise, no, she has to be. How old is Miley Cyrus? She is 30, Eddie.
Okay.
She turned 30 in November.
Isn't 30 like when you start, like, I'm sorry, Endless Summer Vacation Backyard Concert? Like, that's the title. You're not a teenager anymore. Like, stop trying to pretend. Like, you're not even in your 20s. Like, you're done.
Gotta get a job.
Go get a real job.
Go get a real job. It's voluntary tax.
Oh, I love it. Did you get to watch the Oscars this past Sunday night at all?
Eddie, there was a time when I used to line up as many of the Oscar-worthy, Oscar-nominated films that I could get my hands on. Or I
watch
would go to
all.
The theater. I went out of my way to go see them. And then a few years ago, I just kind of stopped after like four of them. And I was just like, I hate all of these. What am I doing to myself that I am going out of my way to do that? And so I stopped. It was probably 2020. I was just like, there wasn't really anything worth watching anyways. So I kind of put that all on pause. And last year, I decided, you know what, I'm going to give it another go. I'm going to try to watch as many of them as I can, just so I have an opinion and a thought process for this when the awards were going to happen. And then the very first one was the Netflix one, Something About a Dog. I can't remember the title, with Benedict Cumberbatch. And it was so awful. I went back and was like, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not going to go out of my way unless I feel very compelled to do this. And I have felt like, other than the fact that I missed out on the Will Smith slap, which I saw 1,000 times after it, so it's fine.
Yes, we're good.
I'm not sad that I have, out of principle, out of personal value, a moral decision to not watch the Oscars. But did you watch it?
I can't. There was no way for me to watch it live, but I did go back and like watch clips and everything like that because I am like intrigued and I'm, you know, interested in it all. There was 10 Best Picture nominations and I have only seen three.
Which ones?
I saw Avatar: The Way of Water, Elvis, and Top Gun Maverick.
Me too. Same.
I've heard from everybody that Everything Everywhere All at Once is really good and amazing.
And it was a low budget film too.
Yep. It was an indie pick. But I had no chance to see it. Maybe now I will. I don't know. I really do want to see The Banshees of Inisherin. Speaking of good, you know, Irish things. I just haven't had the chance to like sit
Fablemans.
Down and actually watch
That's
it.
The one I want to watch.
That's the other one. I just recently watched like a couple of like Spielberg, you know, look back on his career type of things on YouTube. And now I'm really intrigued to see that.
Yeah, The Fablemans is the only big one that I want to watch. I'm intrigued by Everything Everywhere All at Once, but I just haven't just been, you know what? There's enough craziness in my life that sometimes I just like controlled chaos, not actual chaos. And that's what that movie kind of makes me feel like. But I put no effort, no energy into it. I didn't even ask anybody what they thought about the winners and losers. And
I used to do predictions. You know,
won.
I won one year. Yeah.
Won a year's worth of free movies, but not this year.
This is twice I have won large stacks of movie tickets. Thank you, Brownsburg. But yeah, it was otherwise, kind of uneventful. I mean, the winners, it was pretty cool. The kid from Indiana Jones won Best Supporting Actor all these years later. And you had Brendan Fraser, you know, so there was like some good moments. There's some cool. Jamie Lee Curtis, who we've talked about here from how much we loved her performance in Freaky Friday. She won Best Supporting Actress. So there were some nice little moments and everything like that.
I don't really have anything. I thought I had something, but I don't really have anything to say about the Oscars. You know what? This is it. It's funny that two out of the last like 4 years, we've had something weird happen and you kind of expect there to be something. So we had obviously the Will Smith slap last year. Then a couple years before that, we had the wrong name being given out as the winner. When somebody else won, and then Moonlight was the real winners, and then they had to come back. So we've almost expect there to be something now, when it used to be that the craziest thing was Ellen DeGeneres taking a selfie with everybody. Like that was the biggest, the most celebrities in a selfie ever at that point. But we almost kind of expect it. And when there's not, it's almost a letdown. It's kind of funny.
Yeah. It's just kind of, it is what it is. Let's move on to some more Disney specific news. Disney has announced some executive leadership changes. They are moving forward with a lot of their firings that they're going through. They recently just changed a lot in HR departments. I just saw that this morning, like a new VP of HR was announced. But the big one that everybody's intrigued about is over at Imagineering.
Yeah, they brought back a guy who used to be in the Imagineering team, and
Bruce Vaughn.
Yeah, any did you know who that guy was before when they were bringing him back, or any stories or anything like that?
Yeah, if you've seen the Imagineering story on Disney Plus, which if you haven't, you're missing out. It is fantastic. Every time I go back and rewatch it again, my wife always says, "You're watching this again?" Yes. Don't say that with that type of tone.
You're listening to Mary Poppins again.
You will see him in there a lot. He previously held this exact post for a while. And then in 2016, about a year and a half after Bob Chapek took over the department, this division of the company, he just decided to resign. And so he went on, did some work at some other places, some virtual reality, and also at Airbnb. He had worked at Airbnb as a vice president of experimental creative products. Ooh, what a title. I like that. But he's back. And a lot of people, Twitter was a buzz with everything. A lot of people feel like this may be just the beginning of some of the old guard that got pushed out under Chapek maybe coming back. Because pretty much what happened was a lot of your long-term Imagineers all got pushed out at the same time. And you lost the culture immediately. And they even put somebody over all of Imagineering who had only been there like a year, knew nothing of Imagineering culture or the history and the background. She was just kind of brought in because she's a numbers person, a business-oriented person. So a lot of people are hopeful that this is the signal, like the first flag to go up of going, okay, Imagineering is going to come back around. We're going to get another redemption chapter in Imagineering's history because things have been pretty bleak and not that good as of late.
Yeah, another big move in just the whole restructuring. And as Iger kind of re-enters the picture and kind of puts his fingerprints on things to kind of get it back to where he'd like it to be. We talked previously about the whole Adam Silver from the NBA. Maybe he's going to be the successor down the road in a couple years. A lot of big hoopla about like them making a bunch of cuts and different things like that. And one of the things that they're talking about also is just there's been no changes, but vocalizing that, hey, maybe we went a little too far on the pricing of our parks because it's kind of getting out of the reach of just everyday middle America.
Yeah, this was on a recent kind of like tech and media roundtable where he just admitted, he said that Disney should be accessible and affordable to the middle, you know, at minimum, the middle class of America. And it is quickly not become, you know, it's no longer being that. And I think they're even seeing it with things like the Star Wars hotel that's at Disney World. They also just announced like they can't get enough people to sign up for that, that they're reducing the amount of days that they're offering that.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Like they're not coming down in prices, but they're kind of reorienting it a little bit. You know, they haven't announced any price changes as of yet to things, but he's out openly saying all of these things, you know, like, okay, that is too high. The prices have gone up too much. So it'd be interesting. What will they do to course correct that?
So the
just don't see them coming down. Like they're not going to reduce the price, but maybe they'll freeze it for a while. I don't know.
Yeah, because they're still running into the fact that the parks are really packed, or at least yep. They have been previously. And some of that is due to the fact that we had COVID and nobody took a vacation for a year or two. And now they're kind of starting
pent up demand.
Yeah, pent up demand. But the parks, especially California parks, like even when my wife and I had passes back in the day, back in 2015, 2016, like if we could like fully extend our arms left and right, like out beside us, we're like, hey, honey, look at this. We have room. So I can only imagine even since then and with all the pent up demand, like they are crazy packed no matter the pricing. It's just they're getting a lot of blowback from people being like, this is ridiculous, that we can't even afford to do this at times.
Right. So I think that is the issue is how do you balance affordability and accessibility, but also maintain a good experience for the guest and not have overcrowding. You can only build so much, you can only expand so much, and new things typically brings in more people.
Yep.
So that's not really helping your problem and all of that. So it's interesting that they bring it up. It'll be even more interesting to watch what do they do with this.
But we will keep you up to date on all of those things, Disney related, mostly Disney entertainment, but little parks in there. We can't help ourselves. But that's it for the Disney news for today. But that's not what you're here for. You are here for all of our movie reviews from all the movies, from Disney related movies, from 1988 through 2005, aka our childhood. We're in 2004, so we're getting close to the end here. We don't have that many movies left. But this one was one Eddie had circled for a long time since our first initial round of like, okay, what are the movies we're going to cover? And he ran to the end to make sure that we were going to do this one. And that is another Lindsay Lohan flick, which is Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen.
Cue the Disney sound effect.
Okay, IMDb description for Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen. I'm not going to try to put on a drama queen voice for this. I'm just going to...
Aww.
I know you were sad about that.
I was waiting.
Waiting. You have to wait a little bit longer. A teenage girl is convinced that her home city revolves around her until her family packs up and moves to the suburbs, where she finds herself competing for attention. That opening line isn't even in the movie.
Is convinced that her home city revolves around her.
Like, we're not in New York City for the entirety of this film. I don't know who wrote this. This is really bad. This normally it's just like poorly done bad. This is like, this isn't even the movie.
Yeah, this is like, did you watch this?
Did you watch this? Like, or did you just like, oh, I wonder what Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen was. Kind of New York City. Oh, I bet she's a New York City girl and she's don't. No, this isn't even what the movie was. Eddie, did you watch this ever?
I have a confession to make.
Did you watch it? Did we not?
You know how you hadn't seen Miracle before we watched it last week?
Where's this going?
I had never seen Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen before this.
What?
I know, it's a shocker. Such a huge, popular movie that everybody has seen. Everybody has seen. I missed out. I had not seen it before this viewing.
I'm shook. Same energy as last week, I'm sure, when I hadn't seen Miracle. Mm-hmm. Same energy. I was dumbfounded. I did ask my wife, hey, because a lot of these I just watch myself. Like, she doesn't care about a lot of them. But I made sure to stop her and be like, hey, I'm going to go watch this movie. Do you want me to wait? Because I'm a good husband. Do you want me to wait?
Aww.
To watch it together. And she was like, absolutely not. I do not care to watch that film again. And then we found why. And then I found out why.
This was one of the more cringy movies we've endured for this podcast. And I think in part because I couldn't stand this type of girl in high school. Now.
Do you want to name names?
No. We'll be gentlemen about this. And I'll tell you, this was like the day the sonogram technician is like, it's a girl. This is the fear that I had. Like, struck me to my spine, my core. Like, Lord, please. No, I don't think I can do it. And you, my friend, are looking at more than just one here. So this
I might have double options here. This might happen.
This is my fear. And like the whole time I'm watching this, I am like praying out loud, like, dear Lord, protect Eileen from these women, from these girls, from ever having this tendency, like, please, I don't think I can do it. Like, there is something about fake emotion that I just can't handle. Like, whiny, you know, people that are like mopey emotion, cannot handle it. Over the top drama, I can't handle it either. Just like, you are just wanting attention and pulling. So it's like this whole movie, I'm just like, ugh. Okay, I gotta skip this one. Oh, I can't do this one.
Her level of self-importance on everything is just dumbfoundingly annoying to me. And if I never hear another thing about New York ever again, from New York, thank you. Well, when she runs her, it's like, I know my New York. I'm just like, just stop, lady. This is not going well for you. The fact that this movie came out the same year as a phenomenally better high school film that also stars Lindsay Lohan in Mean Girls. This is a Kmart version. Kmart blue whatever
blue light special
blue light special of Mean Girls. I'm dumbfounded. They must have been filming these at the same time.
You're right. They were the same.
They were both 2004. They must have been filming these at the same time or close to the same time.
Yeah.
And this is amazingly bad.
Lindsay Lohan must have been I got to look this up and figure out which one she did first.
Yeah, which one did they start filming first? Because maybe it's like she got all the bad stuff out in the first one. Or maybe she has had a bad experience on Mean Girls and didn't feel like she got upstaged. So she was going to, this is going to be her film. I don't know. I'm putting words in her mouth that none of this could be true whatsoever.
But I mean, Mean Girls is it's a fantastic movie.
It's a classic.
It's funny for one. And you've got such a great ensemble of cast. I mean, this one doesn't do too bad. You've got Lindsay Lohan. Like, for what this character is, like, the over-the-top, she does that well. Like, you can't go further than what's on the page. And she did she did what was on the page, right? Megan Fox. This is Megan Fox's big screen debut.
That startled me. I was just like, wait. And Megan Fox is in this film?
And she's just young enough that you don't remember her as, like, Transformer Megan Fox.
And so then my brain was like, wait, is this how she got Transformers? Because they're like, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, we can use that energy for Transformers. Thank you very
much. I don't know, but and she plays the like cruel mean girl. She does it justice. She does good.
She's fine.
But again, I don't think you can rise above what's already on the page. Alison Pill. I know her from The Newsroom. She's a fantastic actress. Like, for me, I would say, like, she gives the best performance of this movie as the friend Ella. Like, she's got some really great moments in this for this movie. Like, let's not oversell this here.
I was about to say, Eddie, I don't know if that's the way I would point the,
for this movie. And I like her as an actress. Like, she's probably my favorite character from The Newsroom. So I was like, okay, this was really good. Did you notice the love interest, the boy?
The love interest was such an add-on. Such a ridiculous. The moment he like meets them and like says hi or whatever and then moves on, he then randomly pops up later in the film and he's working on her car or something.
Yes.
And I forgot what he looked like. And I was just like, who's this guy?
Yes.
Like, he didn't look anything like what he looked like earlier on in the movie. And then they get together at the very end. It was the least he had no screen time whatsoever in this film, and he's the one that she gets with it's like she gets the thing she always wanted. Oh, and I guess I can start dating now too. I guess that'd be okay for my career. Just like, what?
So weird. He is the kid from The Country Bears.
Removed that from my brain.
This is just an odd movie through and through. The whole rock star being her friend, like she's helping a rock star get sober. Like, there's so many moments here where like this is weird. Like, this is almost blank check FBI agent weird.
Hold up, Eddie. There's nothing blank
almost.
Check.
I said almost.
It's never gonna reach to that level of just of really cringe, like, do we need to call the cops or something?
Yeah. But there's a couple moments where I'm going like, really? This is the story? This is where this is going? Any redeeming factors for you? Was there anything in here that was like, okay?
I liked the opening pop-up book transition. That was really good. It was really well done.
Cool.
It blended in so nicely, and they did a couple other things kind of like that. Some of the things were acid trippy, like with her parents love story or whatever. Yes. That was weird. But that pop-up book transition at the very front, it was seamless. It was
cool.
Really, really well done. They attempted something once that I thought was interesting. Then they did it four other times. It's what's called a split diopter. It's a special lens where normally if you focus the lens on whatever you're wanting. So like forward and backwards from you. So if you've got something close to you and something far away, you can only really have one of them in focus. Mm. But there's a special lens you can use where you can actually have two things in focus at the same time. So you can have a person way in the back. And so they did one of those where Lindsay Lohan and Megan Fox back and forth, she's talking to the person up on stage and you can see Megan Fox behind her in like also crisp, clean. The best version of it that's been done was in All the President's Men. They've got some great stuff where he's like working at his desk on some stuff while everybody's watching the TV screen behind him. But this movie used it like five times, like four or five times in the film. I'm like, guys, stop. Just because you rented the lens and have it doesn't mean you need to keep on using it. So no, that was not, it was like, oh, fun. Did you like when they started all the music, what they did for all the music, like for the actual play at the very end?
Did I like it? No.
When they pulled up all the MacBook laptops.
Oh, yes. I know what you're, yeah. Brilliant. I think that was my favorite moment of this whole movie. I almost texted you at that exact moment that I watched it. One, I thought, well, this is brilliant because you don't need to get kids who play instruments or, you know how to fake it.
Just cue all the music at the same time from their laptops.
Cue all the music through that. And then it was like a great little nod to like the old iBooks.
Yeah. It took me one of those. Like, I'm sure those were all the rage at the time. All those white.
Oh, yeah. The white plastic.
All the MacBooks. Did you appreciate Freud's swinging head in the middle of the play? It's like a transition.
I love the people who came out of the bookcases and their costume was like the books, but they like hid in it.
Yeah. I know we keep jumping all around, but the plot of this film, of them trying to go to the concert and then trying to go to the after party, and they just don't get into the concert, and then they don't. They never. They try a little bit, and then it's done. Then the rest of the movie is same as the rest of the movie. The rest of that whole stuff was like them trying to get into the after party. She had the worst plans. We're just gonna find a scalper that'll get us in. We're just gonna act confidently and go straight in. Like, none of these were the most. These were the worst plans for someone in high school. Like, no, there's nobody that would believe that any of her plans would have actually worked.
I honestly thought, okay, after the concert, after the weird after party scenes of like helping, you know, then they go to the police station and her dad stalking them or whatever. It's like, huh? I'm like, this has got to be the end of the movie. You know, I'm like, okay, how much time do we have?
There's like 30
how much time
minutes.
Do we have left in this? I tapped it. I'm like, there's another 40, like, literally on the little bar, the dot is in the middle. I'm like, no, I'm only halfway through this thing. You've got to be kidding me. I paused it. I walked away. I got a drink of water. I'm like,
it's like the middle of the workout, and you got to find new strength to get through it.
And then I'm like, oh no, that's when it dawned on me. I'm like, they're going to stage this musical. They've got to go through with this. And all of those numbers and the weird dancing, it's like, what is going on here?
And it was like a full, they did a bunch of songs.
Yes.
So they had to have somebody create an actual musical or like 30% of a musical. Not like, oh, here's one number, like in Hawkeye, where we got like the opening number for the play, for the Marvel play.
So much that the Wikipedia tag is Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen is a 2004 American teen musical comedy. I'm like, yeah, I guess there wasn't enough musical numbers in there that it reached to that level. What's crazy is all of their songs combined together doesn't even come close to the few songs that you get in Mean Girls that help sell that story.
You're right.
I don't know about you, but that's all I've got on this. And I'm going to just, it's not the worst we've seen.
No.
We've still not beat Mr. Magoo.
No, that's the low threshold.
So I'm going to give this just a solid one. Like, I watched it. I could actually get through most of it without fast-forwarding too much, but I'm never watching this ever again. I may watch this one more time, and I'll tell you why. When my daughter is about 12 years old, I may sit her down and go, do not be like this. That might be the one other time that I'll watch this.
These are the parenting tips that everybody is here for. This is like, great.
Any of these girls, any of them, pick any one of them, don't be like them.
There's a couple movies that I watched in my 20s that I was like, I need to rewatch this when I'm a parent. But this is the first time I've heard somebody say, this is the movie I'm going to watch with my child so they don't become this.
I don't know if I'll watch it with her.
Be like, I'm just saying, go, you and your mom, go watch this together.
Here's this. You and your mom.
Go watch this.
Go
together.
To your mother.
Go to your mother. Go watch this. And then we'll come back and I want a book report on my desk by the end of the week. Yeah, I'm going to the one. There's no chance of me watching this again. I did skip a little bit, but this movie was so insane. You can't. There's not really that much can skip without being more confused. Although that probably would have made it better. I don't know.
This is true.
But anyways, with that, your life has been forever changed by another episode of Honey, We Made a Disney Podcast.
Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your other favorite podcast. And while you're there, please give us a 5-star review and share it with your best friend.
You can also check us out at honeywemade.com, where you can see our full movie list as we continue to go through all the Disney movies from 1988 to 2005, including next week as we review Home on the Range.
Thank you for listening. And remember, your parents tell you to have hopes and dreams, then move you to New Jersey.